the preeminence that you desire in our lives. Oh, in our lives. Oh, have the preeminence that you desire in our lives. Oh, in our lives. Work with your hands and speak with your lips. See with our eyes and walk with our feet. Oh, have the preeminence that you desire in our lives. In our lives. You know what? Come on up, brother. Oh, have the preeminence that you
seats. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. I think Brother Tim did an excellent job there.
Amen.
I like his enthusiasm, it's okay to, we like change sometimes, right? We're creatures of habit, but it's okay to have some change once in a while. I'm just sorry that it comes at the expense of Brother Tim being sick today, but amen. We just really appreciate everything the Lord does. And I just appreciate how the Lord moves in the lives and the hearts of his people, you know.
Amen.
Puts on, you know, it's not just the minister behind the pulpit that God moves upon and puts something on their heart. He does that through the congregation, too, the songs they sing, and just different acts that they would do. And so it's really good just to see how God does things. As I said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. I wanted to tell you, I had been really feeling led to get Brother Joel Pruitt to come and minister for us, and New Year's Eve, you know, was middle of the week, and so I didn't want to do a service then. I wanted to do a service either the week before that or week after that, and as it turned out, that didn't work out, and we kept trying to find dates, and didn't really know what day for sure that we could work it out until after last Sunday's service. I wanted to announce it Sunday, but we just didn't get all of them. So anyway, long story short, he's going to be with us next weekend on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And so we just want to be in prayer for those services. And also just remember that Brother Ben Nordbrod will be with us in January 29th. And 24th and 25th? I'll have to go back. I got it written wrong here, I think. But anyway, I just want to remember those meetings. Amen. You love it?
Amen.
I just want to pray, everyone to continue to pray for those that are out this morning, those that are sick. You know, I'll make a little confession for you as a minister of the gospel. You know, when the Lord gives you something and you're laying before him and he gives you something to share, and you feel like, oh, this is going to be good, that the saints will enjoy this will be good for them, and they'll like this, kind of like sisters when they want to make a meal, you know, And you come and you find out Satan has hit somebody with sickness and there's people missing because of that, or somebody had to work and so you come in, you realize that what the Lord has prepared there and sent you with, that there's going to be people missing, and it absolutely just crushes the minister's heart, because he just, you know, he wants to share with people the things that he believes is good and healthy for them. And I think maybe the sisters would feel that way when they work really hard for a meal or something like that, and then something happens and people can't enjoy it or something like that. And so just a little confession there. And so, but let's just remember those that are missing this morning. We know they would be here if it hadn't been for Satan attacking them with sickness. But our God is able. Amen. And Brother Daniel said, well, I go, boo devil. Right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
We'll send that his way. So may the Lord bless each one of you. So let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and after that we'll read Hebrews chapter 12. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 1 through 13. Paul is saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God be blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Yes.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Yes, there you go.
For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her that the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Paul says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's just bow our hearts to him just for a moment. Lord, we love you. We don't claim to be anything at all in ourselves, Lord, but just that you have lifted us up into your presence. And our cry of our hearts today, Lord, is that only that we would just yield to you, and that you can say and do and act out and cause us to hear and receive things that only comes through you. It does not come through that of a man, but Lord, it comes through you and gifts that you have bestowed upon your church. And so we ask today, Lord, that you'd have your way among these people, those straining, we just send your blessings to them also. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Seated. and of the Lord. God is good to us. You know, last week I was speaking last week about how that we find ourselves in the Scriptures, right? We look, we read the Bible, we pray and so forth, and we find ourselves in the Scriptures, and you see how God dealt with someone there in the Scriptures. Somehow He speaks to our heart, and somehow by revelation we realize and we feel like, hey, that's me. That's that me in the Scriptures. And so then when you see how it turned out for that person, you can believe it. It'll turn out for you the same way. Well, I was listening yesterday morning. Sometimes I wake up every day, wake up really early, and I'll listen to sermons, and, you know, maybe after praying for a while, I'll listen to a sermon. And I heard this Brother Bram say something about this, and so I'm just going to read it before we get started this morning. Brother Bram says, today, as I sat in a room, I had something on my mind, and I wanted to speak tonight, the supreme sacrifice. But it seemed like the Holy Spirit seemed to kind of move me sideways from that and over into a different channel of thinking. And all ministers know what that is. You think you got something you want to say, and then all of a sudden you feel that you should say something different, maybe contrary. Maybe it's just for one person. And he said, I don't know, but I'm old enough in Christ to know to follow the leading of the Spirit. What the Spirit says do, do it.
Right.
And I'm sure tonight that we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character in the Bible so that we would know the outcome of that character and know the outcome, what our outcome will be. And then he tells the story about the little boy in the mirror. Hey, that's Mama, that's me. He tells that. And so he says, why, that's me, Mom. He said, that's me. And that's what we want to look at tonight. I want to look at me, and I want you to look at you. And as we look into God's great mirror of His Word, let us be able to identify ourselves with some that we're speaking about, some of the characters of other times, and I want to see myself in God's looking glass, because if there's anything that will show you where you're standing, it's this book. There's no other book like this, because it's truth. I don't say there's not other books that are true, but this is the one, this one's true, and it's all truth because it is the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. That's what we want you to do. See, words of a man fail. There's nothing about a man's words going to help you get where you need to go. But if somehow God can speak to you out of His Word, and through the Holy Spirit, a channel connects with you and something moves you, you take that and you run with it if it's His Word, and it will be if it's Him. Amen. And so we want to certainly do that. And so as we go through these things, you know, identifying yourself there in the Scriptures, I want to title this today, Respected to the Birthright. And as we go through this today, we want to look through God's eyes and see what His purpose is. It really doesn't matter what I think or anybody else thinks, what man thinks. The Scripture tells us there's a way that seems right to man, and the end thereof is death. I mean, I figure that out. Anytime I want to go my way, it turns out to be a catastrophe, right? And so we want to see through God's eyes. We don't want to try and understand this Bible based upon what we think the way it should be. Let's ask God to change us to see it through His eyes so we understand with His understanding why He has to do the things He does, and He's laid it out the way He's laid it out, because that's what matters. It's His program.
Yeah.
And so He's the author of salvation. We definitely want to be a part of connected to that salvation. Amen. And so let's realize that His plan is much greater than ours could ever be. And we want to give honor to God today, and that is by listening to understand what He says. Try to listen to understand through His eyes.
Right.
So we're all familiar with this story of Jacob and Esau, how that Esau sold his birthright. We know the story how that he came in from hunting, and he was hungry. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're hungry and you're weak and you'll do a lot to get something to eat really quick.
Yeah.
I always like for us all to sit and eat at the table together at the same time, but sometimes you're so hungry you just got to take a few bites yourself because you're just, you know, and, but, you know, Esau was the firstborn, right? And so he had, because of birth, he had the birthright. And when he would have, because of that, he would have received the blessing when that time come. So he had that. But when he came in from eating, And you realize that birthright was not just a temporal thing. This was something that established him from then on out, you know, and his seed after him, as the scriptures so often speaks of Abraham and his seed after him. And so he came in and he was hungry, and we find out that he thought so little of the birthright. He didn't have respect for it. He thought so little of it that he was willing to trade it just for one meal. Right? So how I want you to think about this, because we're all faced with this every day. He was willing to trade something eternal, as it would be for us, something that perpetual for him, his entire future and the whole seed line, he was willing to trade that for something temporal, something that was very temporary, something that was going to make him feel good just for a moment, and then it was done. And so people do that all the time.
Right.
People will, because Satan will come along and they'll take hold of something that offers just a temporary amount of pleasure, but the trade-off there and the wake of what comes after that is much greater.
Yes.
And so we want to look at these things and see how our battle goes. So we're familiar with that story, how this happened. And so he sold his birthright, and therefore, when it come time for him to have the blessing, he lost the blessing. Because the blessing, you know, that is the sanctioning of the birthright that he had in the first place. By birth he had it, but at some point the father has to sanction that and bless that and send it forth, and he lost that too. We know it was lost through Jacob, what he did. But this whole thing, when Esau, he despised, as it were, I think scriptures might even call it that way, the birthright in the thing. And that was so, that birthright is so important to God, because this is what God had made and laid out. So this is your portion. This is what I'm giving you. He had promised them that promised land, and they had that blessing, and this was what God had said. Hey, this is my portion for you, and you'll be sustained in this, and you'll be able to meet every enemy and never fail in this, you know.
Right.
And he esteemed it so little that he traded it for something very temporary,
right,
something that perhaps within 3 or 4 hours was gone. He was hungry again. Right? And we look at that and we think, how terrible, what a stupid thing. But we fight those things and deal with those things all the time. People all the time making decisions that's even worse than that, because for us it's talking about eternal life, that it's being God's kingdom. Amen. And so this thing was so bad that God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So the scripture told us, so that the purpose of God according to election would stand, and I'll say it this way, so that we could find the purpose of God according to election in this story, because how many knows God's purpose stands,
right?
His election stands, and we want to find it in these stories. And so that the purpose of God according to election can be found here, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and he said this before they were ever born. Before they were ever did anything good or bad, so that you can understand, because God sees these things, he knows these things ahead of time, that he can predestinate, he can ordain according, because he knows what it is. In other words, it's because he knows these things ahead of time, he can use it for his purpose, for his program, and he does. Right? And so, it's not him who willeth or him who runneth. Amen? It wasn't the fact that Esau, you know, or maybe we'll talk about Jacob in a little bit. It wasn't so much that Jacob decided, well, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It wasn't that at all. Amen. We'll talk about what it was here in just a moment. But that was so bad that it could not be reversed. When Esau did that, he sold that birthright out, it could not be reversed. Probably because of the laws of the land and everything, how God had given that, maybe so, but it was so much. And the scripture said, we read there just for a moment ago, that he sought it carefully with tears, but he couldn't find a place of repentance. It couldn't be reversed.
Right.
So, but Jacob, on the other hand, he had respect to the birthright. Even if he had to be a deceiver to get it. And we know that he was. He was a trickster, a shyster, a deceiver, a supplanter. He was all those things. But he had such respect for that birthright that belonged to his brother that he was willing to do whatever he had and whatever he could to get that birthright, to get a hold of it. It meant so much to him. And we find out that was the thing when God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That's the thing he's talking about there.
Right.
He's not talking about that Jacob in himself decided, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Or Esau said, well, I'm just whatever. But it went much deeper than that.
Right.
And so Jacob had respect for this. And even though he was going to be a deceiver to do it. But there was something inside Jacob that drove him to that. Something inside. It was beyond just a mental thing, that something from deep within said, I must have that birthright.
Right.
I must.
Right.
And that something was not there with Esau. Esau didn't have that thing way down inside that made him have respect to the birthright.
Right.
But Esau didn't, but Jacob did.
Yeah.
And so we know that. And we know the prophet tells us that Esau on the outside, Esau was a much, much better person than Jacob was on the outside. And he describes all those things, and you can look at it there. And so he even said that if we were given a choice, us, and our today, if we were given a choice, and we were looking at Jacob, and we were looking at Esau, and we were given the choice which one it belonged to, Brother Branham said 1,000 times to 1, we would pick Esau.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Kind of think about Judas. Right? As he said, well, he saw a picture of somebody of Judas and had flies hanging out. He said, Judas wasn't like that. Judas was handsome.
Right?
Right. See? And so Satan features in beauty and sensational things, you know?
Yep.
And so we would have picked Esau 1,000 times over. But God doesn't look that way. He doesn't look at things like that. And so these things were said here in the scriptures. Even if you threw out what Brother Branham had to say, but just look at what we just read there. That the purpose of God can stand. That even before they were born and done any good or evil,
yep,
he declared those things.
Okay.
Amen. So these things were said there so we could understand that it is not him who willeth or him who runneth. He who tries or doesn't try. But it has to do with God's purpose. And something way down on the inside. You have to realize that God does not predestinate the person, but he predestinates that there's a force inside them that drives them to act out what they act out. And that force, because it's in there, it manifests itself by the actions that people take. Right? And so I've talked to people and to people can be offended. You know, the scripture tells us, don't be offended in the word of God. Jesus said, when this, as the times come, go on, many shall be offended. Offended at what?
Right.
Offended at his word.
Right.
Because they don't understand, and maybe that doesn't sound right or whatever, but they become offended in what God is saying.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And so, we don't want to be offended. I like these things. I've talked to people where these very scriptures. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness lady one time, and I don't remember how the conversation got, but I said, and she wasn't even aware. She wasn't aware, and we didn't read it, but it's in the scripture there a little further. She wasn't aware. I said, well, the scripture said, God said about Pharaoh, he said, for this very purpose I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. Right?
Right.
And she wasn't aware of that. She's just, and you know, I think even after seeing that, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because their belief system, they were just stuck with it. And we don't ever want to get to the place where when we see these things in scripture, so we just count it to the side and that's nothing.
Yeah.
Because you'll find out about what you're doing when you do that is the same thing Esau did.
Yes, that's right.
In a spiritual sense.
Right.
We don't want to do that. And so, it may be hard to understand these things, but I think if you stick around long enough and have a desire to know truth with God, God will bring it to you.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't understand these things years ago, you know. But here's how it works. The one who comes to God is the one who has the seed in them that causes them to come. That's how it works. And, you know, we don't have anything in the scriptures that says anything about what Jacob's opinion was growing up through all those years up until this point in the story. We don't know. And I say that because just because somebody doesn't look like they are interested in God does not mean they're not a child of God. They just haven't come to that place yet. Look at Apostle Paul. Paul was there all that time that Jesus was doing was on the scene. Paul's not even mentioned. He was totally out of the picture. Who knows how, why, but just because God had it that way.
Right.
But when the time come right, when God's timing came, it was time for Paul to come into to what he was predestinated to.
Right.
And so if you see someone they're not interested, that's fine. Keep praying for them because I believe those all around me are God's people.
All right.
And so you might say, well, Brother Tony, you know, well, what do you expect me to do? Believe they're not? No, I'm going to believe that they all are, right?
Right.
Right? And they all have their time when something's going to trigger in their heart, and they're going to know that God is their Father and His Word is their inheritance.
Right.
They're going to know that.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And so the one who comes is the one who has the seed of it in them. And so it's the seed. It is the seed in them that's predestinated. Not the person, but the seed or the word in them that
right.
is. So there is out of the church age book, Brother Branham, he tells us, he said, before I close, this is a Smyrna in church age, before I close this subject, I know there's a question in your mind, and you will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or the seed. That
Amen.
Is it.
There you go. Right.
Amen. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp, the eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed.
Right.
Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13, and neither was born, neither had done any good or evil. See, it was the thought, and then the thought became expressed, and
Amen.
God brought
right.
back Jacob. Listen, God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed.
Yes.
Esau was not.
Yes.
Jacob
right.
alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed, and that's why he had respect to the birthright
right.
and the covenant of God.
That's right.
And if you're a true seed, you will hear the word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you?
Amen.
It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. Satan wants to complicate it, but God is not the author of the confusion. But it's real simple.
Yeah.
There's something down inside a person that makes them come and causes them to come.
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
So Jacob had respect to the birthright because the word of that was in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what caused him right. to come forth. So we could kind of say it like this. He couldn't help himself. He just, there was something in him, and he had to have that birthright. So you can
right.
see what the true evidence of the Holy Ghost is, how clear it becomes here when we look at this, that it's not all these other things, but it is someone who has that Jacob, I got to have the word, no matter what, this word is what matters
Amen.
To me.
Right.
Amen. You know, the birthright in that day, well, it was given to the firstborn, and it was a double portion of everything that was given out from what I understand, if the father had four sons, when he split up inheritance, he split it up five ways, not four ways, and the firstborn, or the one who had the birthright, would get two portions instead of one.
Right.
So he got a double portion. That's a scriptural terminology. A double portion, and so he became the leader of the tribe, this one who had the birthright. He would, when he received that blessing, he became the leader of the tribe. He began to carry on the family name, the family history, all that the family was, all the events the family went through, the seed line, the whole thing, all went through him. He was the carrier. He was the fiduciary of it, if you want to say that. It was his responsibility. And so I want to This is a hard part for me to try and bring this out so you can catch what I'm saying here. So, this birthright, this the rightful heir and ownership to be given to you of this family, of their history, of all the wisdom that they had learned, everything that was there, that father would pass that to that son. And you know, if the father knew how to shoe a horse correctly, well, he would want that son to have that. And if the father knew how to deal with enemies when they were rough, and he knew how to de-escalate, well, then he would want to teach that to the son. And so it was all a skill, and it was all a life, and it was all the history, and it was the family name, and it was everything that was all about what was underneath that family name, and the inheritance was for them. That's what was being transferred to that son. In essence, that father was living on in that son.
Right.
You think of that concept.
That's right.
Right. Even if the father was dead, that name of Abraham was living through Isaac and through Jacob and all.
Yes.
And that name would carry this understanding of who this family is and what this means and what that history was and all that. That's what was all there, and that's what was being transferred. And a father would not be comfortable at all if there was something happening where that son couldn't have that he somehow the son was rejecting it or couldn't receive it or couldn't handle it or whatever. The father would not be happy because you know you have just a species. All species want to multiply. All species want to live on. And so any good father is going to want his children to be prosperous in the things of life and so forth. And he's going to want to empower them with everything he knows,
yeah,
his whole experience, everything he's went through, the heritage of all. He want to give that to them so that they could take and they could be blessed by that same wisdom. And then as they have experiences in life, they can add to those things. And then they're going to hand it to their children. And so as it goes on, they should become wiser,
man,
more able, not less.
Right.
Not less able, but more able.
Right.
Right? Amen. Because every generation should go in the power and the strength and the wisdom and we'll say the anointing or whatever of all previous generations, yeah, that came to them. That's the seed line. That's the whole heritage.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
We kind of understand that as a family. That's why, you know, to a man, his name means something.
Right.
I think of how Brother Branham went and they went to go hunt there with the infidel. And the infidel said, well, who are you? Well, he said, I'm Woods, or whatever he said. Was your daddy old man, whatever, Woods? And he said, yeah. He said, well, he was a good man, so you can go hunt anywhere.
Yeah,
that man knew, right? He knew his daddy. He knew the character of his daddy. He said, you know what? If you're his son, you can go hunt on my property.
Right.
See this concept, what I'm saying. This is the way it should be.
Right.
Right? And I say this because in this world we live in, everything in the world is trying to destroy and tear down that. But it should be that family name means something, and heritage, and all that should matter, and those things should go into the next generation.
Yes.
There should never be a recipe lost.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
Right.
Never be a recipe lost. Should never be a skill that a dad knows how to do, but what it goes on to his son, so his son can, long after daddy's gone, he can do it too.
Right.
See, what I'm saying is the things that work, that has brought us through thousands of years, and they do work because that's what got us here.
Right?
Right? You know, it kind of comes to mind, but they say, don't mess with the old people because they've been around for a while. And they made it through some stuff. That's why they're here.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And I'm saying all this because it may sound like I'm focusing here on natural, but what I'm really wanting to see spiritual too here.
Yes, right.
Right? How these things work. And so, you know, for them, it was the whole heritage of family and so forth. And like I said, in essence, the father was living on in the son. It was a further expansion of the life that was in the son.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Or that was in the father going into the son. So if for some reason that heritage, if it went into a generation and they just dropped the ball and they didn't learn and they forgot and they couldn't pass on to their next generation what they was trying to be taught them, that That father, in essence, has died. That life that was in him, that heritage, has ceased to be handed to the next generation. So in essence, he's basically died. Now I realize God's eternal, right? He can't die, but you realize we're made like him.
Amen.
He has these same desires.
Right?
Right? He's not comfortable unless he can put in his children, in his sons, the wisdom and the understanding of the things that he has, the heritage of what eternal life is.
Right.
It's got to be in the son so it can go on and perpetuate eternally.
Right.
He's not happy if it isn't. Because that's just, and that's why we're the way we are. That's why we want what's best for our children.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So we want it. Father wants to live on through the son, and in essence, he's dying. When a father looks out and he sees his children, you know, Brother Ram talked about how the Holy Spirit would come back to the father as a tutor and say, they're not doing too good. Right? Boy, oh, how he could come back and say, you know what? That child is just like you. Then the father could say, okay, if he's reached that point, he's just like me, and he won't drop the ball, and then now we can put him in authority. Now we can give him the power to carry out these things that he now has the character to handle.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So, you know, any father in the natural, in the father, just like he would be spiritually, in the natural, if he sees his children going down the wrong road, it's slowly killing him. He knows it. He knows it. That he doesn't want bad for his children. He wants good for his children. If he sees them making wrong decisions, he knows where it's going. He knows that God's word is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And no daddy can reverse that once they've done something. He knows that.
Right.
And so it's killing daddy, and I'll say mommy, in their hearts. When they see those things and what it does, it's one of the worst things in the world to feel.
Right.
Right? Because your whole life is bound up in those children. That's who God gave you. That's where you're sending your heritage to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Some people come with a background, maybe they say, well, Brother Graham said, well, all my family was bootleggers. But going forward, they don't have to be. Right?
Right.
Going forward, it can be better and better in each generation, closer to God and more powerful, more anointed,
right.
More victorious when trials come, not less.
Right.
So if you see it's becoming less, you know something else has come in and got in the mix affecting.
Right.
And then we've got to identify those things and battle those things. Amen. So in the natural, any godly man would want his children to carry on all that he is. He wants to give to them.
Right.
And let them carry on and go on. And like I said, never lose a skill. Never lose a recipe. So you sisters, learn from your mother. And I know y'all are, because I get to eat some of it sometime. Amen?
Right.
But I hear people talk about it. Oh, I wish I could talk to Grandpa. I wish I could talk to Daddy. Because he knew how to do this, and we don't. Should not be that way. Man. So, can you see? This is what God is doing. God's just not trying to be cranky and all. He wants life.
Right.
Eternal life. He wants that in his children. And with that life comes the wisdom and understanding and the heritage of everything of all ages of God, what it's come to, what it's built up to, it's all belongs to us as this generation now to receive it, and it's up to us to hand it on to the next generation. You understand? But eternally, God is wanting to impart into us that thing that will sustain us through eternity.
Amen.
Not just in time.
Yeah.
That's why, because his word says and does the things it does, because that's what he's trying to do. I'll get a little further in just a moment. Maybe they'll come clear. So what God is doing, he's teaching us through his word. He's teaching us, he's showing us, he's instilling into us these truths, these abilities to overcome the enemy. And so he's feeding into us and instilling and investing into us his seed line,
the whole heritage of the gospel, what it was from the beginning all the way to now. God is trying to, all that wisdom and overcoming power, he wants it in us today.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Right? So he's given to us his seed line, his family name. How many times in the scripture does it say, for his name's sake?
Right.
Yeah. What a man would do to make sure that that name and that wisdom that goes on and that child can go forward with strength, not weakness.
Right.
What he would do. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so he's instilling those things in us. All that he is, we are. Man,
right.
I didn't know my dad, but I know that if I would have, there have been a lot of things I would know, and Cherokee would be one of them probably, right? But there's things I would know, but I didn't get to spend the time with him, right? And I know that he, once he found out I existed, he regretted the fact that all those years that he wasn't able to spend that time and teach me and tell me the things, he rebuilt the automatic transmission. I'd be afraid to try that, believe it or not. That's not a trivial task. I just paid $3,000 to get one done. I didn't know how to do it. But I'm just saying, he would have wanted to give me those things and teach me those things. And so that everything he knew and all that he was, I could go with that same wisdom. And then as I experienced things in life, I could add to those, and then I could give that to my children.
Right.
So you understand, we should be getting better and stronger and more anointed, not weaker.
Right.
More overcoming, not less.
Amen.
So all that he is, we are. You hear the terminology I'm using?
Amen.
To be identified as American, I have to identify with when they hoisted the flag at Guam or when they, right?
Right.
I have to be identified with the glory and the shame.
Right?
To be an American, to stand here today and say I'm an American, I have to stand and represent all the history of this nation, whether I like it or not, whether it was good things or bad things. That's who I am.
Right?
And the prophet tells us as Christians, to be a Christian, we have to be identified with all the things. We had identified even with Samson when he did what he did and got in trouble, but yet overcame in his death. We're identified in that. We're identified when David was ousted as king and stood over the mountain there looking down at Jerusalem and weeping. Right? We have to be identified with Paul being and Silas being in prison that night. We're all those things, we represent that. Amen? We say this, that anything that God did there, he can do now.
Right, that's right.
Through a people believe it because they're identified with it.
Right.
Amen. So, but these things, even in the natural, these things are handed down mostly through word. I mean, I could say, my son's here, I could say, let me show you how to properly torque down the lug nuts on a tire. I could do it and he might not catch it. But if I explain it while I do it.
Right.
So the power of the word and these things, the sister to try to pass off a recipe to their daughter without words might not work very well.
Right.
And what I'm trying to show you is that the main avenue that this happens is through the word, through being taught, through it being told us, explained to us.
Yeah.
The whole history of the Bible. How did you get that? How did you know that? Through word.
Uh-huh. Right.
What's available to you? Healing? Deliverance? How do you know it? Through word.
Right.
What is available today for us as the bride of Christ? You'll know that it'll come through the channel of the word, just like
that's
would be in the natural. It comes through the channel of his word. Predominantly, that's it. It's handed down through words. And so because of that, then these things must be received. Right? If a parent's going to teach a child something, that child has to receive it. They have to receive it. They have to learn it. They have to know how this works and what it is and what belongs to them. And it's handed to them, and then they've got to go act it out. They've got to live it and do the same thing. And if that process doesn't happen, then that life dies. So in essence, God will never die. But if he doesn't have some children that can take that word and learn it and go live it, in essence, that he's dying. You understand what I'm saying? Even though he's eternal life. Amen. Comes through words. So if we find offspring and they won't receive it, or they receive it, but then they decide they don't want it, or they don't go, they believe or what, but they just won't go carry it out, then I would ask you, if that's the case, then are they a respecter of the birthright? And the answer is no. Something's got in the way.
That's right.
Right? And so if no one lives whatever life you're talking about, the life of the family line, if they don't live it, then it stops.
Yeah, right.
But proof that you are that birthright carrier, what is the proof of it? Because you are doing the things that have been done, that has been through the ages, that has passed down, and you're doing it. Right? Not if you say, yeah, I know, but I don't do it. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. So proof of it is that you are the seed line carrier is that you carry out what that seed is.
Yeah, amen.
Real simple. You see, this is why God gives us his word, his lifeline. He's just trying to do what we would do. He wants to give you himself.
Right.
All that he is, all his blessings, all his wisdom and his ability to live out through eternity. He just wants to give that to us. How does it come? It comes primarily through the word and the experiences we get from that word when we interact with it.
Yep.
That's how it comes. Through his word. It's not going to come any other way. You know, we're not going to wake up someday and all of a sudden we just, ta-da, I understand it all. No, it comes through trials and testing and trying. That son out there, just like the rest of the children, the rest of the workers in the field until he comes to adoption. Amen. And so we want to be respecters of the birthright. We want to respect what God is trying to tell us,
amen,
what he's trying to teach us, what he desires for us to go and operate, because he's given it to us. And if that doesn't mean that a lot to us, then we're not very good keeper. We're like Esau. It doesn't mean a lot. We're willing to trade temporal things for the eternal things.
Yep.
And Paul is saying, don't let that be.
No,
don't
no.
be like that. Paul is saying there, he said, hey, you know, God chastens all those he loves. He corrects them. And where we picked it up there, and he's saying, listen, no chastening seems to be joyous, but listen, it will yield peaceful fruits of righteousness.
Yep.
It's not a very good experience at first to be corrected. But you understand that Father is trying to get life into you.
Amen.
Right? He knows. I'm talking about godly parents and the natural and God in the spirit. He's going to give you those things. But we don't come naturally into this world with these things. We have our own way and our own ideas. And the only thing that will change that is if something in authority speaks to us, corrects us. And it's not joyous for that to happen, but trust me, it will bring forth fruit of righteousness in your life.
Right.
Amen. Works both natural and spiritual.
Right.
It will happen. It will bring those things. And so Paul says, so while this, and I'm paraphrasing, while this is going on, while you're going through these trials and things, and Daddy's correcting you and trying to fix things, and God is not letting you do the things you would want to do, while that's going on, don't. He said, lift up the hands and hang down. Don't be going around, oh, God, nothing goes my way.
No.
Know who you are.
Right, amen.
When David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort.
Amen.
I've had a rod stuck across my back in the form of a spark plug wire, an extension cord, a peach tree limb, and a belt. And they didn't feel good. But like any grown person years later will tell you, I needed every one of them and should have got more. Thank my parents, grandparents, mostly grandparents, for every one of them. Right? When you understand the program of God, thank God they love me enough to stop me from destroying myself.
Right.
Thank God, they'll tell me, stop that nonsense.
Right.
It's destroying your life. Thank God for that.
Right.
It's a comfort to us.
Right. Amen.
To know that God would get involved and stop us and say, quit going down this belief of Trinitarianism or all this nonsense, right, or whatever it is. You understand?
Right.
Thank God. And though it may be rough for a while, if you'll hang around for just a little while, it'll get better.
Right.
Why? Because when you start sowing good seed, amen, you start reaping good crop.
Right.
But you'll never get good crop if you don't start somewhere and start sowing some good seed.
Right.
It'll never happen.
Right.
It's got to start somewhere. It starts by you changing your mind and saying, I'm going to throw away my thoughts. I'm going to start doing what my Father's telling me.
Amen. Right.
And watch what happens.
Amen.
Start doing His word. Sow that kind of seed, and you will start reaping a good crop.
Amen. That's right.
He's the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
He controls those things. Amen.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Yeah.
You can't pray to Him and say, now, Lord, I sowed bad seed. I pray that you give me crop failure. That ain't happening.
No.
It is in His hand how bad that reaping will be. Some years you have bumper crops and some years you don't.
Yeah.
That's all in His hand. You just got to be still and know that He's God.
Amen.
And say, you know what? I did wrong. He controls how hard this is going to be. And I still trust Him. And after a while, it'll be okay. After a while, you'll have a testimony of overcoming. I overcame this and overcame that, and it about destroyed my life, and I've got scars, but praise God, I'm saved. I got peace in my life and in my heart, and God works around me and in my family.
Hey.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you've got a testimony,
right,
that you can testify how God got you through those things. But it starts with listening to that word, just trying to bring that lifeline to you, that heritage to you, instilling that into you. You've got to receive that. Act upon it. Change your mind and start. That's what the word repent means. Repent means change your mind.
Yep.
Start doing different.
Yep.
What are you going to change? Do it to somebody else's thought instead of yours? No. Go to God's thought.
Amen.
What He.
Right.
And we all know, we all have a conscience. We know our conscience tells us He's right. We're just trying to figure out a way to get around it. And it won't work.
Yep.
Right, I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. I've found that in my own life. You can't bypass it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Thank God.
Amen.
That God's willing to correct us.
Yeah.
Amen. So, you see why God is giving to us these things? You see why that there has to be healings and deliverance and the supernatural presence of God in His church? Why? Because that's what He's been. That's where He's. That's what He is. That's what's been all along. And you think God's going to come along and say, well, okay, no more healing, no more deliverance. No.
Nope.
We're supposed to get more like God, more powerful, more like
Him.
You understand?
Right.
See? And so that's why that here in this last day when God has poured out these things, that what we should be expecting is exactly what He's told us, because He's telling us things today that many ages didn't get.
Right?
We're getting things now that they didn't, that they longed to wish they could have had. Jesus said to that generation, he said, look, many of the prophets are right, but they desired to see your day, and they didn't see it. And now here you are, you're seeing it and rejecting it. But I can tell you the same thing. Those people, many generations desired to be able to look into these things that we are able to look into now and know these things that God is handing down to us as our heritage, as our abilities, and what He's instilled in us. This is what you can go and be. Many looked to have this day and didn't. But we've got it. What are we doing with it? Just to repeat, what are we doing with it? As Jesus, the Word, stood there and said those things to that generation, the same Jesus, the Word, is standing today saying the same things to us. Because we're supposed to get more like God, not less like Him.
Amen. Right.
That's why there's got to still be healing and deliverance from all things here today, now.
Right.
Supernatural presence of God in His church. Because God lives on in His people.
Yeah. Right.
And man, He lives on in His people.
Yeah.
If we don't hold on to these end time things that He's revealed, and we don't hold Him in high regard, what does that look like when other ages said, I wish I could have known that.
Yeah, right.
And here we have it, and we don't do nothing with it.
Right.
We're doing what Esau did. We must hold these things in high regard, and we must be able to say, I will suffer in this life if I have to have that birthright.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right?
Amen. I'm not telling you to be a deceiver, you understand, like Jacob was, but to have that determination that I must stay with what God has poured out in this day for us.
Right.
Amen. So if we don't, if we don't hold these things in high regard, what are we doing? We are interrupting the seed line.
That's right.
But see, God will have. He will have a bride.
That's right.
He will have sons that come to adoption. This world will be liberated when those sons come to adoption. It will happen. Right? Then we must realize it's going to happen. You're getting older. One day, if the Lord tarries, you are going to be in a grave somewhere. You can't stop that, right? So prepare for it, right? And so you understand, God will have a people who accept this word. Let us be that people who accept it.
Right.
Amen. See, a lot of people, a cop-out, and I hope you know what that word means, a cop-out, is to say, well, these things are not issues of salvation. They may not be. But what are they? They are issues of whether or not we have received this lifeline and we're carrying it on appropriately and not diminishing it.
Right.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
So, we don't want to be cop-outs. I will say this, that if we have this lifeline and we're passing it from one generation to the next and God's passing it on but as you do it, this generation drops a little of his word off. A little bit of his promises off. The next generation drops a little bit off. How much can we drop off until eventually God's no longer in it? You realize that, just take my body, right? My life lives in here because I've got hands and feet, and I've got heart and lungs and all that. And you know, something might happen, I might lose a limb or two limbs or three limbs. We're still alive, but at some point when you start taking away enough, eventually life can't be there no more. And that's what I'm saying. God is passing this on to his people, and we're all are faced with it. Hey, will we be Jacob's or will we be Esau's? And he's given to us, and if we start saying, well, we don't know, then you're taking God out of it, and at some point, it will be an issue of salvation because God won't be in it anymore and nobody can get saved by a watered-down gospel.
Right.
And this is what happened. This is what happened through the ages.
Yes.
You understand? And so what was happening when all that happened like that is we lost the terminology, genetic information was lost. Genetic code was lost. When you hybrid something, you take something fully God and mix it with something that's not God. The product is part God and part something else.
Right.
And in that something else can never come back to be all God because it's been hybrid. You've mixed it. You can't.
Yeah.
So how do you ever get back to that? This is what the church world did. They watered down, until after a while, God couldn't hardly do nothing in there no more.
Yeah.
So what did God do? He says, it's hybrid. It's all messed up. There's so much false seed word in there. I can't stay there no more.
Right.
I'm on the outside knocking, trying to get into my own church because they put me out.
Yeah.
You understand?
Right.
So what's the only thing to do? What's the only thing? Don't miss this. If you've never heard anything else in what I'm saying, this right here.
Yeah.
When that's the case, what's the only thing to do? The only way you can go back is by the original word, spoken word. This is why God had to send a prophet to reestablish this word. Right? Because we could never build and come to rapture off of those other things that had been watered down.
Right.
What is God doing? He's once again reestablishing, here's what the family line is. And when you establish what the family line is, You're making it clear who it is that's going to go on with it.
Yep.
Right? Amen. So, we don't want to lose the genetic information of God in Christian walk, right?
So the only way he can fix it is to come back to the spoken word.
That's right.
And use the spoken word to reestablish once again, here's what this lifeline is.
Right.
Let me declare to you who the real church is. Uh-huh. And this is what happened when he opened those seven sealed books. That seven sealed book is the testament and will of God that has been read to declare to this generation who will carry this thing on.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's his will and testament that would been had been held, locked up and held up. You know how that works. When it comes time, the death of the testator, right?
Yes.
When that time comes, now they can read the will, and now the will can come into effect. This is scripture, right? Now it can come into effect, right? And so it's as though God has said, I'm passing away here. I'm moving away. I'm putting it into effect now. And now read that will. Read that book. Open those seals. Declare what's there so that everybody will know who it is that's carrying this life on.
Amen. Right.
You'll know clearly.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's what's happened in our day.
Yeah.
By the spoken word.
Amen. That's
the
right.
Only way we could get back to the
beginning.
That's
right. Right back to the beginning.
Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Should put that up there, I think. Think about this. Even if you don't believe anything I said, if you believe this Bible, Hebrews 12, 14. Amen. Paul says, follow peace. We read it a while ago. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness. What's holiness?
His word.
To be like God. Holy.
Yep.
Separate.
Yep.
Separated. Not like the world.
Right. Yep.
Follow peace with all men and conjunction and holiness.
Right.
Without which no man shall see the Lord. If you ditch holiness, you understand? If you ditch, that's part of this gospel to reestablish what holiness is, dress code and everything and how we live and act. It's part of it. God, when you cast that to the side, just that one scripture alone tells you if you reject holiness, you'll never see the Lord.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, if you accept holiness, you'll see them every day in your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
There's no way to get away from holiness in God's economy. And I would say, like I said a while ago, if we water down holiness until, how much of it can we water down until God's no longer there in it? Right?
Yep.
And I'll ask you this. I said a while ago, some people said, well, it's not an issue of salvation. Okay, which one of us has the credentials to say what is the issue of salvation and what isn't? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody in this room has those credentials.
Right.
Except the Lord. He's here. But you understand. But if God would send someone who would be able to say, here's what it is, mm-hmm, it'd have to be a prophet. Because it's exactly
that's
what
right.
He said he would do in the scriptures.
That's right.
So there's your ultimate.
That's right.
Not your denominations, not your thoughts, but a vindicated word that says, this is it.
That's right.
Reestablishing holiness in the midst of his people. Amen. So that people will go on and they'll have healings and deliverance and all those things. Why? Because they believe it, because they've received it, it was taught them, it was told them, it was demonstrated
Amen.
To them. They
yeah.
took the word, they saw it in action, they saw the word say it, and they grasped on it, and now they're going forth to live and do the same thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
See, all God wants to do is to continue to live on in you.
Right.
And he doesn't live in you as defeated.
No.
He lives in you as an overcomer.
Right.
As a healer, as a savior, a keeper, a guide, a
Amen.
Comfort,
right.
And all in all, that's what he is. That's what is available to all his children
right.
who will receive it.
Right.
Amen. We love that. We appreciate that. And it's as a minister of the gospel, it's my desire just for you to see it every which way that you look at it, so you'll know this is what it is.
Amen.
that this is what's available to me.
Right.
Amen. And so that no matter what happens tomorrow, we still know what we have,
Amen.
What we are.
Right.
Amen. This is the day when God's will and testament has been read to us.
Yes.
Amen. Shows who the real heirs are. Amen. Amen. If you will receive it.
Right.
If you will receive it, this was Elijah, which was to come. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Respect unto the birthright. People don't realize it, but when they reject God's word and they water it down and resist these things, that's exactly what they're doing. Rejecting. They are rejecting the birthright. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to Him just for a moment, and we'll sing some songs. Brother Tim can come up, and maybe he's got something he can. Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, we might be coming out of this building, Lord, but I pray, God, that we not come out of Your presence, Lord, that these truths and these concepts, Lord, that they grip our hearts. And Lord, when we going tomorrow or whatever it would be, going through battles, and Satan stands up before us with trials and testings and habits of life and things that don't glorify You, God, that we would be able to stand there and say, I see what it is. I see what the enemy's trying to do. And I heard the word say that I am to be strong in the Lord, that God has committed to me these things. We pray, God, that You just cause that to be the mindset of all Your people as they go forth, Lord, to remember these things, these truths, and begin to put them into action. May they take, even if it's just small steps, take some steps towards You.
Yes, Lord.
God, meet them in a mighty way so their head would spin, as it were. They could know that, wow, I didn't know that God would meet me so quickly on such a small portion of the word. But God, maybe do that, and they try You and test You and see if You're right, see if Your word is right. Lay it before You, and You come forth, Lord, in the mighty power of Your presence to show them, God, that You're here to do these things, that Your will and testament has been made clear in this day, and that You want them to be partakers of it. We pray, God, that You would help them to grasp these things, anoint them to have an understanding of what's going on, Lord, for we believe the time is short. And Lord, surely, as Your people go through battles and things are negative, things that bring out bad outcomes in their life, surely, Lord, they can look at that and say, that was a wrong seed I sowed, and start sowing good seed. Lord, I commit them all to You in the name of Jesus Christ for their victories to come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's see if Brother Tim, you got a song?
Sure.
All right.
He was preaching right there. You got this on? He was preaching right there. He said, you know, he mentioned the original life. Well, you know what? That's exactly what it is. It goes back to the original life.
Yeah.
Without it, we can't live.
That's right. That's
the original seed is the original life.
That's right.
If that seed's in you, then you are in Christ. And Christ is in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know this is a little long, but we'll just sing this song. Hallelujah. God's attributes were manifested in His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord. The original just say that while he's preaching? The adoption of sons. Hallelujah. How can we be anything else? A son that's adopted is just like his father. Boy, I love that, Brother Tony. That's exactly right. We are called unto adoption, full of authority. That authority lies within us. Again, you can be dismissed. You want me to sing that one we started with when you came up?
Sing.
Huh?
Sing that one this morning we looked up.
The one that I was humming all the way here?
Of course.
Yeah, if I can remember how it goes. Isn't that awful? It's beginning to rain. Is that what you're talking, the one you're talking about? Hallelujah. All right, it's number 654, sister, if you want to get to it. I can get this. You know old Brother Jimmy Swagger. I call him Brother Jimmy Swagger. Years ago, he wrote this song in 1986. And it's got a lot of truth. It's got a lot of verses to it, but our book only has just the chorus. Let me see if I can get it. Hallelujah, Brother Tim. I'm glad you're there.